Amen, saints. This morning we come to First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 to 16. This portion of the word is following chapter 10, which is very obvious. First Corinthians is divided into two sections. The first section is chapter 1 to chapter 10. And the second section is starting from chapter 11. So we are entering into the second section. The first section, Paul was burdened to help the Corinthian believers. And they have a lot of problems. And from chapter 1 to chapter 10, they have 6 problems. So a lot of problems. From chapter 11 to the end, there are another 5 problems. The first section, Paul, in solving all the problems of the Corinthians, his focus wasn't on the problems. His focus was on Christ. So in the very beginning, in chapter 1, we see that maybe we can read the 2 verses in chapter 1, going back, just to give a little background before we enter into the second section, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read it together. To the church of God, which is his home, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, So these 2 verses brings us to the very opening word of Paul to the Corinthians. From chapter 1 to chapter 4, they cover the matter of division. And chapter 5, they cover the matter of dealing with a sinful brother. This brother even committed incest, took his stepmother. Then chapter, this is chapter 5. Then chapter 6, it was the matter of lawsuits and abusing of the freedom. Then chapter 7 was concerning the marriage life. Then from chapter 8 to chapter 10, it was concerning eating the idol sacrifices. But in all these chapters, Paul was very burdened to bring all the Corinthians back to this very Christ. So in the very beginning, he mentioned this very Christ, he is theirs and ours. 1 Corinthians wasn't just written to the Corinthians. It was written to not just the saints in Corinth, but also to those. Of course, the saints in Corinth, they are sanctified in Christ Jesus. They are the saints. But also all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place. So this epistle was not just, you know, the saints in Corinth, but to every place, the saints, calling on the name of the Lord. So this Christ is theirs and ours. It's our common portion. In chapter 9, even he mentioned that we were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So fellowship, you know, just to enjoy the Lord Jesus. So we see this throughout the whole book of 1 Corinthians. So Paul was very burdened to help them to enter this burden that we need to enjoy Christ, to have fellowship with Christ, of course, in the body, with one another. So this was very, very, very clear throughout the book of 1 Corinthians. In order to save time, I will just jump a little bit to chapter 10. In chapter 10, again, the matter of fellowship. Let's read some verses in chapter 10. So again, the matter of fellowship was mentioned. So it shows that fellowship is just to have the mutual participation. You know, around the table, you know, we have the fellowship of the cup, and we have the fellowship of the bread, which signifies the Lord's physical body broken for us. When the blood is separated from a person, there is the death. So in this table meeting, we are declaring the Lord's death, that He died for us. But in this context, from chapter 8 to 10, in fact, He was eating of eating the idol sacrifices. And in chapter 10, later He mentioned, we cannot partake the food offered to the demons, then partake the bread. We cannot have the demons' table, also have the Lord's table. So in dealing with the matter of sacrifice to demons, to idols, He come up with this matter, wonderful Lord's table. It's truly wonderful. So the Lord, you know, Paul's word is just that, you know, to present this Christ to all the Corinthians and to bring all of us into the enjoyment of such a rich Christ, you know, and throughout the first portion, he brought up the riches of Christ. It's unsearchable for all of us to enjoy and partake day by day. In saying that, we come to chapter 11. Chapter 10 was concerning the Lord's table, but chapter 11 is concerning the Lord's Supper. You know, this coming week, this week, but starting from today, we will cover concerning the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, is just concerning the bread and the cup. It's the same thing. But suddenly, in this portion we are reading, chapter 11, 2 to 16, inserted a portion concerning Christ is the head of every man. Concerning man is the head of woman. And concerning God is the head of Christ. Did you understand? I don't understand. So suddenly, you know, there's a portion. This morning we need to cover. Okay. We have the body. So this matter, this week, I have more realization and understanding. You know, the Lord's table is or the Lord's Supper is mainly concerning the body of Christ. But what Paul is covering, chapter 11, 2 to 16, is concerning the head. So we have the body and we have the head. And this is very logical, right? But this past Wednesday, Brother James was with us in the Evergreen meeting here. So he touched a point I thought was very precious. The point he touched is concerning the reason he mentioned the man of headship and the head covering. There's a key word in this section. That is the covering of the sisters with the head covering is to have a sign of submission to authorities and for the sake of the angels. You know, this is something mentioned in this portion. This matter of angels is a key word because the angels are the God-created beings. They are invisible. They are spirits. But in chapter 10 or chapter 8 through 10, it was concerning the eating idol sacrifices. That to have the demonic fruit. Demons. The table of the demons. What are the demons? demons are the, the demons are not human beings. Some people think the demons, human beings die, became demons. No, that's not so. Demons are not human beings. And demons are neither angels. The angels follow Satan. They are the evil angels. So demons are the disembodied created beings before the Adamic age. What happened was demons followed Satan in his rebellion. Eventually they were judged. They became disembodied beings. That's why it's called demons. Okay, when we touch this point, we need to read a few verses in order to... we had the verses, in fact, this past week. Maybe we can read the verses in Isaiah chapter 14. Maybe we can read 12 together. Then there are only three verses. Maybe we just read them together.
How you have fallen from heaven, O great God. 너 아침에 아주 어찌 하늘에서 떨어졌느냐. 너 열국을 얻은 자여 어찌 그리 땅에 찍혔는고. 내가 내 마음에 이르기를 내가 하늘에 올라 하나님의 우별 위에 나의 보좌를 높이라. 북극 집회 산 위에 좌정하리라. 가장 높은 집에 올라 지극히 높은 자와 비교나 하도다. 이제 내가 음부 곧 부정의 내 밑에 마치 우울부라.
If you read the context, I don't have time to go into the detail. If you read the context of Isaiah, this portion of the word, Isaiah wasn't talking. Isaiah was talking about some person, physical person, existing at that time. But certainly, in his speaking, in his writing, something changed. Something changed, mentioned this part of the word. And this part of the word referring to day star.
Right.
And this referred to Satan. If you read the context, there's nobody else mentioned this portion of the word except Satan, God's enemy, the devil. Five times he said, I will. He wants to be equal with God. So he rebelled against God. He was the archangel. In fact, God committed to him all the authority. But because of his beauty and because of his pride, this is a warning to all of us. Satan became fallen, he dragged one third of the angels with him. This you see in Revelation chapter 12, I think it's verse 7. He dragged the third part of the star with him. At that time, there were also living beings on the earth, so the demons also followed the rebellions. So this was the situation. Of course, in such a pre-Adamic age, in such a situation, God came to create man. We have Genesis 1:26. Maybe we can read that Genesis 1:26 together and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the earth, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that is on the earth. And God created man in his own image, in the image of God. Man was created to represent him, to express him, and to represent him, and especially to rule over the whole earth, and especially the creeping things, which is serpent, referring to God's enemy, Satan. But we all know man was tempted, and man became fallen. So this is the situation. I mention this in such a way just to bring out the matter of the table of the demons. So if we see in this life, we will see something very significant. That is, concerning the Lord's table, usually we really appreciate what the Lord's love for us, by He died for us, and to shed His blood to cleanse us, so we can be recovered. Even He made us sons, that we can become many sons. But there is a very particular point we don't touch that much. That is, this table signifies the Lord's death. In the sense that He was obedient unto death, which is opposite to Satan's rebellion, to the rebellion of all the angels, to the rebellion of all the demons, even to the rebellion of man. Christ, in Philippians chapter 2, before chapter 2, verse 5, he mentioned, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's read verse 6 together. Who existed in the form of God, did not consider being equal with God, but treasured to be less. Dear mention, Christ, when He came, in fact, Christ is equal with God. Imagine about Christ existing in the form of God, did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped, but rather He emptied Himself. The following verses after verse 6. He emptied Himself, taking the form of a slave and becoming in the likeness of a man. And He humbled Himself, becoming obedient even unto death and the death of the cross. Of course, the following verse imagine. Therefore, God highly exalted Him and gave Him the name which is above every name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in the heavens and on the earth. And every mouth should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, let's all say together.
Jesus Christ is Lord. You
know, this is a tremendous statement. Because Jesus, He was the first one here, was obedient to God. He was equal with God, but He took God as His head. And He was truly submissive to God to accomplish redemption for us, which is a table. We all can see how wonderful redemption is. He has accomplished God's purpose by obedient to God. That God wants to accomplish His purpose. Christ, in God's arrangement, He take His position. Even though He was equal with God, He was submissive to God. To die even, and the death on the cross. So today, with this in view, that there's such a contrast of the rebellion demons, the table of the demons, and with all the angelic beings, one third of them rebel against God under the leading of Satan. Today, God used this table to show that now there is a group of people gathering together, and they are some, according to the word, with a covering. For the sake of the angels. Today, our gathering is not just we gathering together. If you read this portion of the word, you will know this portion of the word is, it mentioned the headship. Chapter 11. Verse 2. The headship. Then under the headship, imagine three words. The headship in the universe. So today, this morning, we are not just having a little gathering in New York City. We are doing something to show the headship of Christ in the universe. So to see this picture, we will realize, you know, we have the Lord's table in chapter 10, we have the Lord's Supper. In chapter 11, in between, sandwich, that is concerning the headship.
그 사이에 바로 머리의 권위, 머리 대신.
Thank the Lord, you know, so this matter can open to us in such a way that we will know there's something so significant that the Lord wants to reveal to us this matter. You know, just as the teaching of the Lord's table, we accept. So the teaching concerning the headship also should accept. And you know, the sisters are really privileged. You know, this week, I'm reading this portion of the word. Under God's sovereignty, I'm not female. Even though I, during this portion, I wish I'm female. But I accept God's sovereignty, God's headship. I'm not a female. But female, or the, oh, by the way, I just want to mention, sister, if you read this portion, or I mean, you know, some, I think we all brothers also, we always think about the sisters. No, he's not talking about the sisters. He's talking about woman. He's talking about man. It's different. God is concerning the headship, is concerning in the whole universe. God has His authority. That's why the authority was mentioned concerning the head covering. And in this God's authority, there is God and there is Christ. God is the head of Christ. So if God and Christ together, Christ has the head covering. Because there's only one head. When Christ is here, we all have covering. Because Christ is the head. There's only one head. Christ's submission to God under God's headship. That was beautiful because he was equal with God. And yet, he took the position of He took the standing under God's headship. So this headship of God over Christ, there's a need something to reveal this. So in this revealing the relationship in God's government, God's administration, God uses man and woman. And female were chosen to reveal what Christ has done. So sisters, you are really privileged. Because God, Christ wants you to express His submission to God the Father. So I just feel, when we come to this portion, God is revealing such something so great to us, you know. The first portion of 1 Corinthians was concerning the Christian living. There are the problems, right? Six problems. But in opening the second section, which is chapter 11, the first thing touched was the matter of passion. the headship. And concerning the headship, of course, he mentioned in a very beautiful way, very clear way, the headship of Christ over every man. And man over woman. Then God over Christ. Of course, God over everything. So today I'm standing here. I'm not. So I pray that Christ is my head.
Right.
I don't want my head to be here exposed.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all here, we want Christ to be head of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But among all of us, in fact, everyone should have a head covering this morning. But sisters, you are chosen to represent all of us, to have a head covering, to show in the whole universe, God is the head, and Christ is under God's headship. And this picture is here this morning, while we are reading the word, enjoying his word, God is presenting this in the whole universe, especially to the fallen angels, especially as a shame to Satan.
Yeah.
So praise the Lord. God wants to gain such a group of people under his headship to express that there is such an order in the universe. Even though outside the church, everything is in a universal collapse. But in the church, Christ as the first one, he submitted himself to God the Father. And now he has saved all of us, that we all can have a part in this testimony. You know? So this morning we are bearing a testimony of God's ordination in the universe, of God's proper order in the universe, and especially in the church. There are two testimonies I want to share a little bit. One was a sister. This Wednesday, she shared. She was wearing a head covering. And she said, she's not here. I don't think she's here this morning. She's in another meeting. She said, you see this head covering? She said, it took me 50 years to have this covering.
이것을 쓰는데 50년이 걸렸다고 간증을 했습니다.
She said in her whole life, she supported herself.
스스로 하는
And but at the end, she realized she is covered.
하지만 저는
I was very touched, and the many sisters were very touched, you know. She learned a lesson. So head covering is not just something like physical, you just put on your head. No, we are sharing the head covering, we will prepare something in the book room, by selling the head covering, right? But this morning, we are not interested in that. So we are through the word, you know, from the entering into the burden, entering into this portion of the word, the God is revealing to us, touching God's administration, touching God's government, there is the matter of universal headship of God. And there's also the headship of Christ. So today, we thank the Lord that we have this portion. In fact, after this portion, I don't know, you know, when the next time we'll cover, right? Even Bonnie said, you know, in the last study, he said he didn't touch this, you know, for when he came to this country at all. It was the first time because this portion of the word. So, thank the Lord. I think we all like, you know, when I read this portion, I just very convicted, you know, I think to be under the headship of Christ. So, really thank the Lord, you know, this time I can enter into this portion with a deeper understanding, you know. Okay, another testimony. Sister Yue is here. Okay. she a very touching testimony also. Contain her learning the headship. Of course, particularly under her husband. But I just want to mention one word she shared. I think touched many concerning the matter of peace. you know. When we are not under the headship, we lose peace. So this word peace in Chinese is very particular. You know, I didn't think in the way that Sister Yue presented. In this word peace in Chinese, I'm not teaching Chinese, I'm just making a little point. You understand? Okay. It is a word peace, okay? Peace. There is a woman. In the word peace, there's a woman. A woman, Chinese, a lot of words are figurative, you know, like the sun. The sun is, you know,
it's a sun.
So this woman, I don't know, I you know, okay, I don't want to get into detail. I just want to mention, the word peace, is this woman, this word woman, with a cover. So she's a shield. When the woman is covered, the woman has peace. In fact, we all are female, by the way. Because we all will be the bride. So when we are covered, we have peace. So the matter of head covering is not a matter of being equal or not equal. That's totally misunderstanding of the word, you know. Concerning God's salvation, we're all equal, right? We're all equal. God saved you, God saved me. Brother, God saved brothers, God saved sisters. We're all equal. It's not because you are female, you get a little more chance. Oh, I'm a brother, so I'm able to get myself saved. No, it's nothing. It's all God's grace. By grace we are saved, not by all, our female or male. So in God's arrangement, there's a matter of God's grace, which is like redemption. Doesn't matter what race, doesn't matter, you know, female or male. Concerning salvation, it's nothing. Even concerning Holy Spirit, everyone. The gift of Holy Spirit to everyone. So all this concerning the church, there's no position, there's no female or male. But in this universe, there's another, we may call system, that is God's government, which is different from God's grace, the system of grace. In fact, God gave us a grace was in order to perfect the system of government. We cannot say, I'm saved, I'm fine, you throw the authority away. God in this universe has his government. So God gave us grace in order to bring us into God's government. That's why the gospel is not just the gospel of grace. The gospel is also the gospel of the kingdom, of God's authority. In fact, the more we enjoy grace, it should bring us more under God's headship, under Christ's headship. If we say we enjoy grace, we throw away all the authorities. That's a total misuse. So God wants to bring us, every one of us, into this God's administration. Okay, at the end, I just want to mention that in this portion, in the First Corinthians, until now, Paul was using the children of Israel as a picture of us today Christians or the church. In chapter 5, he mentioned about this sinful brother, and then he mentioned about the Passover, Christ has been sacrificed. Let's keep the feast. Keep the feast of unleavened bread. So that was a picture concerning our salvation. We all got redeemed. Christ is the Lamb of God. He shed his blood. We receive him. We enjoy him. In fact, the Lord's table was a continuation of the Passover feast. Then when the Lord was eating the Passover feast with the disciples, then during the eating, he established the Lord's table. So the Lord's table replaces the Passover feast. That was for us to eat and to drink. So our Christian life, in fact, started from just like children of Israel with the Passover, and continued was in chapter 10, that now we eat the same spiritual food, drink the same spiritual drink, drink the spiritual drink from the spiritual rock that followed us. So we see the children of Israel, they have a continuation after their salvation to go on with the Lord. But the purpose was to enter into the good land. So the next thing we mentioned was in chapter 10. Concerning, you know, chapter 10, in the beginning was they were baptized, then they would start eating the spiritual food, drinking the spiritual drink. But in continuation, Paul just turned to us. Now, where are we? Are we in Egypt enjoying the Passover? Are we in the wilderness enjoying the spiritual drink, spiritual food? We are neither in Egypt, we are neither in the wilderness. We are in the good land enjoying the table, enjoying the Lord's feast. So the table, in fact, was a picture of the good land. So we are following the Lord. But in all these different sections, the Lord revealed that He's leading us is by our eating and drinking. So even the matter of headship is not something that we want to do something. The headship, in fact, come out of our enjoying God's salvation. So the table, in fact, has two sections. The blood signifies God's judicial redemption. And the table, eating and drinking, refers to God's organic salvation. So by enjoying God's organic salvation, we will be under God's headship. So this is the Lord revealed to us today. So we are in the good land, we are enjoying the Lord's richest provision for us to by enjoying, by eating and drinking. So eating and drinking is very crucial in our Christian life. You know, eating and drinking, not only we enjoy God's salvation, but also we are being brought under God's headship. You know, in Revelation, the same principle is revealed also. In Revelation chapter 2:7 and 2:10, imagine about to the church in Ephesus, to him who overcomes, maybe you can read together. He who has an ear, let him hear.
이기는 이에게는 내가 하나님의 낙원에 있는 생명의 나무를 주어서 먹게 할 것이다.
So at the end of the Bible, again, imagine the matter of eating, and imagine first the eating of the tree of life, which is in the beginning, you know, the Bible, God created man, put man in front of the tree of life, and then man enjoying God as life. Okay, in 2:17, let's read together.
이기는 이에게는 내가 강철의 만나를 주고 풍조를 줄 것이다. 그도 위에는 받는 사람 위에 아무것도 모르는 새 이름이 적혀있다.
So again, here mention about eating of the hidden manna. So to the church life, you know, in the seven churches, God stresses the matter of eating. Eating the tree of life, eating the hidden man. So this one was to the church in Ephesus, the other was to the church in Pergamos. And to the last church, that's really in chapter 3.
20절 읽고 욥기 마지막 주에
보아라
내가 문 밖에 서서 문을 두드리자 오늘이 나의 구원을 주시옵소서 라면 내가
먹을 것이다. So here was a matter of a feasting, dining. Dining is not just, you know, you take the food, eat it. Or the manna comes down, or the manna comes down, eat it. Dining is you sitting down. To have a table, you know, to have a table of feast. Like last night, you know, the Spanish-speaking saints, you know, they have a gospel meeting, big feast, you know. So today, our Christian life is a life of feasting. It's a life of eating the tree of life, eating the Passover lamb, eating the food, you know, from heaven, and drink the spiritual drink, and enjoy Christ as our feast in the good land. So I just enjoy all these principles are very clear in the Bible, but it comes down to the practical, just We all need to eat the law. If we all need to drink the law in ourselves, we are not able to be submissive. But the one in us is submissive. Christ is a submissive one, even unto death. So what we need is, yes, we just need Him. We just need daily enjoy Him as our portion. Let the submissive one come out of us. So with the brothers or sisters, you know, we just need to enjoy the Lord as our life supply. And let Him gain His testimony that He may express to us, He may shame that rebellious one. You know, in fact, the rebellious element is still in us. You know, quite often, it may come out of us, especially when we have children. If you look at children, you know, the rebellious element is there, very evident. And so today, we just need daily eating Christ, drinking Christ, living Christ, and express Christ. So Christ may be testified, and we all properly, that we may be His testimony. And the sisters, you are particularly chosen to have a sign to shame the devil. Amen. And to shame all the evil angels and the demons. Praise the Lord. Today, the Lord wants to gain such a corporate people, you know, to bear such a testimony, to testify that in His whole universe, He has His order. And today, we are submissive to Him. I want to give Him the glory. Let Him be the unique head in the church and in our daily living. May the Lord gain the glory.
Amen. 자, 그분께 모든 영광이 기원합니다.